Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pep, Celtics, and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday.
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray. Gasper! From the Town Fair Tire Studio here in lovely Dorchester, Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Sports. All right, now that's out of the way. Let me tell you, while I wrestled with the idea, Chris, of actually coming in today, whether or not I should be doing the show today. Well, you probably realized that yesterday, sitting in the hour that you did on Felger and Mass. After a steady diet all week of nonstop bad news, dumb takes, stress-filled insomnia, I think you can count on one hand how many hours I've actually slept this week. The kid here had himself a straight-up panic attack last night, in which I found myself eventually burdening my poor wife, sobbing in her lap like a big, stupid baby. I have since calmed down. That's good for you. And B-Rob as well. Hey, B-Rob, producing today's show. I've officially had it. I know I'm not alone in that feeling, but with that, obviously comes the concern of what this could easily lead to, and that's why I wrestled with whether or not I should come in today, and that's when Keeping It Real goes wrong. Do you remember when Keeping It Real goes wrong?
Oh, my God, one of my favorite Chappelle Show skits.
I think that and the Three Daves are the two best skits from that show. It's one of the brilliantly funny bits from the Chappelle Show, still holds up 15 years later, when Keeping It Real goes wrong, whether it's Darius James flipping out because... he thought someone tried to pick up his girl, subsequently gets beat up, ends up having to live with his horny grandma. Right? That one's great. Go get the big ones. Brenda Johnson taking things too far because she didn't like people playing on her phone. I can relate. I can relate to when Keeping It Real goes wrong, Chris. I'm one more talking down to or a side eye from a stranger for, God forbid, not wearing the mask when I go for my daily walk from Keeping It Real going wrong. I'm not kidding. And it's why I wrestled with coming in. I really did. I don't know what you're going to get here today and really going forward, if I'm being completely honest. But I did decide to come in for two reasons. One, I have old Dick Murray's work ethic. I have the old man's work ethic. And unless I have a leg falling off, I got to come in. I have to. It's just the way I am. And two, and more importantly, it's good to see you, pal.
Good to see you too, Jim.
I think this 3 hours is good for my sanity. I really do. It's therapeutic. And so... my hope is that it helps, and I can talk through this. And sure, we'll mix in sports because I know you have some thoughts too. Obviously, this is a democratic little operation we have here. It's Gasper and Murray. Hell, my name's second. I shouldn't be.
That's a mere formality.
But let me tell you, if the 3 hours doesn't help, well, you can cue up that voiceover guy when Keeping It Real goes wrong. Jim Murray, once a heartwarming story of perseverance and hard work, making a really stupid amount of money for this cushy job. Now a sparkling example of when Keeping It Real goes wrong. And Wu-Tang! Like, I'll throw it up. Like, it ain't gonna take much. And I know, and this is really what it comes down to. I know I'm not alone, and I just wanted to say this off the top here. I want to tell, like, the audience, because I have respect for the audience. I'm not gonna sit here and come in like the Fellas, that god-awful show that's on before us. Wow! Wow! Did you hear that? Oh, my God.
I did hear it.
Have some respect for your audience, you a-hole. Paint by number, sports radio. Just show up. Four questions for you. What are you watching right now? Producer who's just forced to get on the mic. Well, you know, I've been watching, Lion King. Wow! Wow! So let me tell you something not anyone else is really going to tell you right now. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to feel like you're about to snap. That's not a green light to act out. It's not a green light to act like a moron. It's not a green light to keep it real, which I'm afraid I may have to. But it's okay to feel angry, right now. Yesterday, I tweeted, tipping point weekend. You can feel it. And I'm not encouraging anything because a lot of people took it that way. And it's like, oh, you're going to go out. It's really more out of concern than anything else. It's not the government I'm mad at. I'm not mad at the ever-changing rules, some of which really don't make sense. You didn't have to wear the mask now. You got to wear the mask now. If you don't wear the mask, you're going to get fined. Golf courses are pretty much open all over the country except for three states, this nanny state including one of them. I get it. I know the numbers are real. I know that the people are dying. It's a horrible situation. We're all stressed out. My concern is, and this, I feel like there's been an energy change in like society in just this week, Chris. And I know I'm not alone there, just based on the feedback that I got from this one tweet. I know Zoe feels the same way from listening to him a bit on the middays. You can feel it. With the temperature rising, people are starting to get angry and they want to go out. Not every single person. You already see it. Like, and it's already... I have to take my own advice here. I have to like step away from social media. I have to get away from it because it's not good. Because I see what people tweet and people are, it's now becoming like such a divisive thing. Like,
yeah,
people are going out, you're a bad person, you're causing more deaths. All right, like, listen, not every single person that was at Huntington Beach yesterday and not every single person that's going to go out this weekend in this area because the temperature is going to be in the 70s want people to die. They're not like pro-Trump. They're not on one side of the aisle and you're on the other. People are just frustrated and they've had it. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to go for a walk. You can't, people that are like ready to demonize those that just want to get out of their house because they're about to lose it and keep it real. Like, what do you want? What do you expect? I said this weeks ago on this show, Chris.
Yeah.
When the temperature starts to rise, you string together some of these 70 degree days. What do you think is going to happen? What do you expect? So, I don't know. My advice to those people is like stay off social media. Like, it don't, if you're going to see this kind of thing, it's going to drive you crazy. It's just going to continue to drive you crazy. Like, it don't do it. You want to, what do you expect? What the hell do you think people are going to do? And my fear is what is happening here is that it's going to start turning people against each other. Like, that's my bigger concern. It's not like government overstepping or anything. My bigger concern, it's everybody else. Because there's this little irony that I've discovered here in the last day or so. As the masks become a requirement, like the literal masks are being put on, the proverbial masks are coming off. Like, you're really you're really getting to see what people are all about here.
Yeah.
And that, I think there's real, I don't think I'm crazy in saying there's a change. You can feel it. People are fed up.
Yeah, I think people are frustrated. You know, I think a lot of people are frustrated. It's a major disruption and a major change to our lives, and I understand that. You know, the one thing, so I have masks and I wear the mask, but the one thing that I do try and be mindful of is the availability of masks. It's not widespread. Like, even if you want to wear the mask, there are lots of people, and my wife and I were like this for a couple of weeks. We had masks on back order. They kept getting delayed. We were looking for masks. We couldn't find them. We finally got some from a friend of hers, which was great, and now I've had other ones arrive. But so I try and be mindful of the fact that, you know, not everybody that wants a mask can get a mask. Now, I saw, in terms of your tipping point thing, I think you are right, because now I've started to see, I'd say, like, this week was the week where all of a sudden I started to see the signs outside the stores basically saying, like, no mask, you know, no service, essentially.
Yeah.
And while I do support that, again, I understand that not everybody's able to get a mask. The only thing I'd say, and I certainly understand the frustration of you and others with 2 months of social distancing and society basically being shut down. But I think the flip side of it, of what you're talking about, the flip side of the mask gold sort of, is I've also seen that there are some people that are also just sort of incredibly selfish. Like, it's really about them. And I understand it's frustrating.
Like what, runners, people on bikes, that kind of thing that aren't wearing them? Or is it just...
It's just in general. I would say just some general behavior. I don't want to vilify any particular group of people, but I think, you know, it's frustrating for all of us. But when you start to sort of put all of your, we all have personal needs and frustrations, but when you sort of start to put all of those ahead of the greater good, that's like the biggest thing that I picked up on, Jim, just looking at this, is, you know, when you said, I think we always say, you know, we're all in this together, but you put the question mark at the end. That is sometimes how it feels with the question mark. It's like, this is inconveniencing me. I don't care about the bigger picture. And I think we're all struggling to find that balancing act. You know, I think on one end, there's maybe some folks that are too concerned about themselves. And then on the other end, there's sort of the you know, mask nannies that don't want anybody to do anything. And I think the toughest thing during this time is to strike the proper balance. And I do feel like the last week or so, it's become a more polarizing thing, and it's become harder and harder to sort of strike that balance.
Well, and this is where, in the risk of contradicting myself, where I get frustrated on the government end of it, is that, like, there's just so many, there's so much contradicting information. Again, first with how the masks were treated,
yeah,
and then how we as a society are being treated. So I said from the rip, and granted, you know, I have egg on my face for not taking this seriously, and I was like, it's just an overblown flu. Obviously, yep, I was wrong, shame on me. You know, I own that one. But the one thing I did say from the rip was the half measures bother me. Either call it martial law or don't, because there's some things that I look at and is like, well, this is martial law, like the basketball nets. Like,
yeah, you know how I feel about
these draconian measures where you're shutting down parks, you're shutting down little, you know, we had a walking/jogging track right up the street from me, closed. And the way that they're doing it out in California, or where they have skate parks, fill it with sand. When you do these kind of things and you treat people like three-year-olds, how do you think they're going to act? What do you think that they're going to do? And again, I'm not advocating for the idiots that are storming the halls in Michigan, like
That's what I mean. To me, that's just selfish.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. But not every single person that's out, again, like protesting at Huntington Beach yesterday, or that is just like going for a jog at a closed park. They're like, I gotta get out.
Frustrated. I will say though, I mean, again, and I don't want to. I saw some of the pictures of the Huntington Beach. Lot of red there. Lot of hats.
Oh, sure.
Lot of red and lot of hats.
So again, like I understand why people want to paint.
And Orange County is a traditionally Republican conservative county. There's nothing wrong with that. But I do think that maybe not all those folks, but some of those folks, I do think for them, it's a partisan issue. It's politicizing it. And I'm not sure that all of those folks necessarily believe the scientific information that is being disseminated.
Oh, there's idiots. There's a lot of idiots. But overall, like, it just comes to, it's okay to be angry, guys. I believe that. I really do. I won't take that back. And if I got in trouble for that, I'll apologize. I won't mean it.
Angry or frustrated, or is there a difference?
I think it's both to me. Okay. Angry, frustrated, again, that doesn't give you a green light to act out and be a complete moron. I'm not advocating for that or anything like that. But if you're frustrated and pissed, I get it, man.
Yeah,
I feel the
too.
Same way. I feel exactly the same way. And I think it's okay to say it. Because right now, like, I just see some people I've literally unfriended them on Twitter and social media, and I've mentally unfriended them. I'm done with you. If you look at anyone out this week, or this weekend now, someone that's going to go for a hike, your neighbor that goes for a walk, someone just going outside to throw a football with, like, three friends, and they're distancing enough, but they're throwing a football. And you either want to, like, try to call the cops on them or take a photo of them, surveil them like a rat F. Well, I'm done with you. And I've seen too much of that. I'm done with you. I have no tolerance for that. What the hell do you expect people to do when the weather gets warm? And what's the difference? And here's the other thing. Here's the where I get frustrated, too, like where some of my frustration comes from, Chris, is what's the difference of that? And then you got to go to Target. And I get it. Supermarket's going to stay open. We got to still buy food. But, well, again, it's the half measures here. Either call it for what it is, because it's starting to feel like martial law, or let people actually live their lives a little bit here and calm down. Like, if you want to hide under your bed and treat it that way, so be it. Live and let live. I thought that's one of the tenets of our system. That was one of our tenets of society, but apparently not. People are starting to lose it, man. I mean, like, and it wasn't a call for action, because a lot of people, social media, it's getting worse by the day.
It's bad out there, like you said.
But it's a tipping point weekend. I think there's been this energy change. It's frightening, frustrating.
Yeah. Particularly here, you know. I mean, some states are starting to open up.
The golf thing, I don't get. And so maybe that makes me selfish, but I know I'm not alone in that frustration, too. Yeah. There's ways to do it that you can distance, that you only have maybe two golfers at a time. Maybe you just only allow one. There's no 19th hole. I saw Tucker, who was in here before, one of our producers here. You know, you don't have rakes by the sand traps. There's ways to do it. Hell, pretty much every other state in the union has done it except for us and like three others. And I don't expect that changing anytime soon. Oh, and May 18th? Let me ask you, Chris. You think May 18th? You think everything's opening up around here on May 18th?
No, I'm not. But, you know, this is where I'll go back to just quickly my sort of selfishness take, which is all anecdotal, right? I don't I don't have the scientific sort of evidence to back it up. But I will say this, as now with the job change, 5 days a week, I'm commuting to a building. And I have to say, every day when I commute, I'm like, why is there where are these people going?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
And so I'm not saying people shouldn't go out. They shouldn't go to the supermarket. I get it. But I don't think it's a coincidence that Massachusetts is up there with New York and Michigan for cases. I don't really think people have done a great job with the distancing. And I've spoken to other people in the media, and they sort of feel the same way. People who are like out and about. I think there's a lot of people from the beginning that kind of like flouted this. And every time I'm out and I see there's like traffic as I'm going to work, I'm like, I get it. People have to go to supermarket. I go to supermarket. I go to Target. But I'm like, are all these people going to the supermarket or Target? Like, how are there this many cars on the road?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it, man.
So it's kind of like, for me, it's like a catch-22, right?
Right.
Everybody hates this. You're sick of it. But it's like, if you suck it up and do it, it might end faster. If you just kind of, you know, say, whatever, then May 18th won't be the date. Then it will be, I mean, if I had to guess, I'm going to say that, like, they're going to open everything back up in phases starting June 1st. That's what I think. And I think they just didn't want to tell you that. So it's like, oh, May 18th, and then it will get extended again, and then that's how you get to June 1st.
Do you think that, so, I feel like they should rip the Band-Aid off and just say, like, honestly, just say, like, I don't know, 4th of July. Like, I think that's actually, it will suck initially, and then it'll become easier to deal with. When you keep putting these little proverbial carrots in front of people,
yep,
and then they don't happen, you're like, ah! And I think that leads to the madness a little bit. I really do. So you're better off, because I just saw that Ohio said, you know, basically like, hey, you're screwed past Memorial Day. Like, you know, that blows initially, but I think it's easier to deal with as the days go along. But yeah, full-on panic attack. First one since 2004.
No, I'm sorry.
Then it was, it happens. I just feel bad for the wife, really, who's like now concerned with the lunatic that she's living with. And now, as my co-host, too, sitting here hostage, you're like, oh, Jesus, I got to do this until 1.
No, I'm good.
I'm okay. I'm just saying, it won't be much before keeping it real goes wrong. Jim Murray had it all. He had worked over 20 years to finally get to a cushy gig, making really kind of stupid money to not do all that much. And then, Wu-Tang! Like someone just said one wrong thing. Or it was one more bad take about Jordan's gambling, and he loses it. And then he's pumping gas at the mobile up the street because I keeps it real. Like, that's where I'm at. Just letting you know. But I'm hoping this next, like, now two hours, 40 minutes will help.
Yeah.
All right. We do have some sports stuff to get to.
Sports.
Yeah, right. I never really even got your take on as to how you felt about the draft as a whole for the Patriots.
Yeah.
But really, those listening, those of you that are out, shame. Shame on you. Now, if you're out and you're in your cars, maybe
it's a beautiful day.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day. Don't blame you. Wherever you are, if you'd like to weigh in at any point, hell, share your panic attack stories. I'll take them. Maybe I can be a therapist for you. Not certified, not at all. That'd be taking too much work. But I'll be happy to listen to you. 617-779-0985. That's the number, right? I almost gave my cell phone number. Okay, hey, it's Gasper and a Crazy Person here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I'm surprised, you know, I hate that I even think this, but having lived through, having worked in this goofy business for 20 plus years, hey, it's Gasper Amari, 98.5, the Sports Hub. I'm surprised that people haven't, like, some nana hasn't complained, why are you playing the song? Another one bites the dust during this time with all these people dying. And the reason I thought of this so quick, Chris, was back in the day, after 9/11, at the time working at the now defunct WFNX, and this actually happened throughout all the country at all the rock stations, there used to be this, at the time, this one hit from this band Drowning Pool called Bodies. Let the bodies hit the floor.
Oh, I remember
Let
that. I remember bodies. That.
Rah! You know, like the butt rock era. Well, we had to stop playing that because 9/11, which I don't really see the correlation, but that's really when the finger wagging really started to start. Like, that's offensive. That's at least in my lifetime. Like, that's offensive. How dare you? And like the PC police really started to rear their ugly head at that particular time, at least when it came to radio. Yeah. So you had to stop playing these particular songs.
But how would you, before that happened, before the horror of 9/11, how would you introduce said song?
Let's see. I didn't have any kind of voice or anything. It was, you know, it's music radio. It was that was this is coming up next, occasional pithy comments. So it's like, you know, it's Drowning Pool from, you know, because we used to have at nighttime, it was Extreme FNX. because it's strange that we actually ended up playing that kind of music like Limp Bizkit and Korn and whatnot. But that was the time. Used to wear an onion on my belt. But yeah, it was Extreme FNX 101.7 Extreme FNX. It's Drowning Pool with Bodies. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the... if you lived during that time, you remember the song. Okay, so, Chris, it is a sports format, and I would like to keep the cushy job as much if I haven't already lost it. The Patriots draft, we were knuckle-deep into it at this point last week.
Yeah.
And we kicked off rounds 4 through 7 right around noon. As a whole, your takeaway, what you liked, what you didn't like.
You know, so early on in the draft, I liked what they were doing. I supported the trade down. I liked the first two picks, Kyle Duggar, Josh Uche. And then after that, for me, I felt like the draft sort of, I don't want to say went off the rails, that's too strong, but went into a direction where it was a lot harder for me to support. Didn't love the Anthony Jennings pick. And then really, I thought the last day of the draft, starting with Roarwasser and going through there and not picking a wide receiver. I mean, 35 wide receivers selected in this draft, and they didn't pick one. That really stood out to me. That was glaring. And I'm not sure what the rationale was for that. I know there were a couple times that the Ravens were near them. The Ravens ended up with Devin Duvernay and James Prochet, who was a guy that the Patriots had done a lot of research on. I just thought that was a major, major shortcoming in this draft, and it's a major misgiving of mine when I look at their roster. Also, when I look at the Dalton Keene trade, there were other tight ends on the board. We talked about this a little bit last week. Hopefully he can play, and that's the right pick. It's not a commentary on Dalton Keene. In a vacuum, I don't mind picking him as a player, but man, they gave up a lot to get up to get him. Like, he better be really good. They wiped out their entire fourth round and had a 58-pick gap, after which they then selected a kicker, the most Belichick thing ever, a kicker. That, to me, sort of changed the composition of their draft. Like, they really went all in for Keene, so I hope he's worth it.
And with the Jets, too. That's the thing. It's only second time that Belichick's made a deal with the Jets, and it was with Demaryius Thomas.
Let's get something for this guy.
The Cold War has thawed there, but that did seem a lot. I'm with you with the wide receiver thing. So my big two takeaways, and the one I said last week and said all week in the afternoons, was I think it was glaring that Belichick and the Patriots are screaming at you, like, Jared Stidham's the guy. Jared Stidham's the guy, at least for 2020, you know, because I know you say it's Jared Stidham's the guy, .. for now. Man, wide receiver, like, you know how deep this was at that position in this year's draft, and you do nothing? Nothing. Nothing at all. You're happy with that unit that you have, just in terms of speed. And so you see, you know, Tyreek Hill's a special case. Bad guy, but special case in terms of his speed and what the Baltimore Ravens are doing and some of the guys that they draft, like speed on both sides of the ball. At wide receiver, and maybe there's something there with N'Keal Harry, and I'm too quick to call him a bust. He's a big dude, but is he a burner? No, they have no speed at that position.
I mean, they brought in Bird. You know, Jahmyr Bird can fly.
But he's like a return man.
And we'll see what he can do. He might be, you know, a better version of Philip Dorsett. But your point overall is absolutely one I agree with. Not enough speed on the outside, not enough playmakers. And I thought it was really interesting. I don't know how much of Belichick you caught, Jim, after the draft, but he was asked that question about not taking a wide receiver, and he referenced N'Keal Harry and then Mohamed Sanu, basically saying, well, both of those guys came from that draft. And it's taking you know, Sanu out of it in terms of the production, and obviously you got the ankle injury returning punts. But it always blows me away a little when the Patriots try and sell this. So it's like, wait a second. Some guy making $6.5 million with a year left on his contract is the same as a draft pick? I don't think so. Like, you know, a draft pick's a lot cheaper and under your control for longer than that, even if he ends up working out. So that's my biggest fear. And we've talked about this before, that they're sort of, you know how we can say somebody's, you know, take invested and can't, like, back away? I feel like they're kind of like take invested in this idea of, well, we fixed wide receiver last year when we had Harry, and we traded for Sanu, and we brought in, you know, Gunnar Olszewski and Jacoby Myers. And I look at that and say, well, I'm not convinced that you did fix it, and I think that there were better options available. And I thought the whole thing with Belichick that we give him credit for is that, well, he's always willing to make a mistake and move on from it. Doesn't feel like it right now.
No, he's take, it's a good way to put it. He's like take committed at wide receiver.
Yeah.
And now we're going to have two drafts to look at, because it looks like you're going to have straight up studs all over the draft board in this year. But last year it was already proven, like guys like Mecole Hardman, Slayton, who I like, and with the Giants, who went in the fifth round. Like, you missed out on a lot of guys And now, you know, the meter's running here as we're looking at Belichick in terms of drafting at that position. So, hey, I hope I'm wrong in N'Keal Harry. He just, there's one thing it's pretty evident that he doesn't have, and that's speed. Like, he may be able to bowl guys over. He showed that a little bit towards the end of the year, the Kansas City game. But boy, they are lacking speed, something serious. And they had an opportunity to address that, the draft, and they just did nothing.
And yeah.
So when you, do you think part of it almost might be a little bit fear-based? Is that silly to think that? It's like, well, we already took N'Keal Harry, so maybe we took him a little too high in the first round anyway. This isn't a position I've drafted all that well at in my 20 years here. If there is one stain on his resume, at least as a GM, it's that that's been a blind spot for him. So do you think that he looked at it this year and is like, nah, I'll address other needs because I'm not that good at taking wide receivers?
No, I don't think he would feel that way. I think he has a lot of confidence in his abilities, as he should. I think that this draft, maybe more than some other drafts, they went with players that they had some level of familiarity with, either with the player or with the coaching staff or somebody around the player. I think you see that with a lot of these picks. Like, even, you know, you can look at Duggar and say, okay, he's from a Division II school. What's the connection? Well, the connection is that Belichick actually got to go to the Senior Bowl this year, which he normally doesn't get to do because the Patriots aren't eliminated that quickly, and they have a bye and all that. So he got to go. So their first three picks were all guys he saw at the Senior Bowl.
Mm.
So that clearly left an impression with him. And then you go through some of the other picks, and there's a connection there. So maybe they just didn't feel like they had that at wide receiver. But it is a little strange to me. Again, I don't understand how you can look at it, because you mentioned Stidham, and I totally agree with you that they are, you know, this is a little bit of an oxymoron, but they are quietly screaming at you that Stidham is the quarterback. If this receiving core wasn't good enough for Brady, in other words, if he couldn't elevate it, the same guy who in 2006 elevated a receiving core with Rishay Caldwell and Jabbar Gaffney and Doug Gabriel, if he couldn't elevate this one last year, how is Stidham going to do it? Like, I don't think they're doing Stidham any favors. Stidham needs more help than Brady. Not the same, not less. We'll see what tight end ends up being, but it doesn't make sense to me. Like, you're not really helping this kid if you don't upgrade this position.
Well, unless the upgrade is at quarterback and they're looking at Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton. Like, almost 8 straight hours of Andy Dalton talk. Something else that really...
Yeah!
Something that didn't help the kid's psyche here.
The red rifle.
Oh, boy. Maybe it really is Andy Dalton that sent me over the edge.
Really?
It didn't help, Chris. It really didn't. But he's out there in the ether. Oh, the old ginger boy. Oh, he just needs a good coach. He needs a chance. 5 straight years of the playoffs, and that was with the Bengals. Why not give Andy Dalton a try here in New England? Oh, God, shudder to think. But it's a possibility, and we'll touch on that next here on Casper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Casper and Murray. Casper and Murray. Casper and Murray. Casper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Casper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I have no idea, neither do you, who Bill Belichick sits in his office, feet up on the desk, watching tape of who he says, I really like that guy. Whether or not the rest of the league likes him or not. One of the guys I think, and I know this, people are going to laugh at this, I think Bill Belichick would really like to work with Andy Dalton. You know, because wow. Andy Dalton he's a football player, you know, and he's not Tom Brady. He's not going to go down in the pantheon. I get it. Guys who are going to go down in the pantheon at age 32 are not available. Okay. But Russell Wilson's not available, but I think Andy Dalton would be a very compelling guy to be a bridge, either to be their quarterback for a while or to be their bridge guy to the next quarterback.
Casper Murray, 98.5, a Sports Hub. Yeah, the thought of Andy Dalton in a Patriots uniform, it has not been good for my psyche. That definitely contributed.
I feel like that maybe that pushed you over the edge.
I'm not kidding. That played into it, like Dalton in a Patriots uniform. You're going to have to talk about Dalton, Murray. Dalton.
Well, we don't have to talk
guy.
About Dalton. You know, Jim, I'd want to let you know I have a number of scenarios for how we can restart sports leagues in bubbles that I'm sure you want to review.
Oh, I love that one, too. Yeah. I'm so anti-Andy Dalton. It's one of these guys, it's like... My last 10 years of being an NFL fan, and I think as most people, even Bengals fans were forced to have to watch this guy. Like we've learned to realize, because they occasionally get the primetime game or the odd Thursday game where he craps his pants because his record in primetime games is awful. We've learned to look at a guy like him and say, well, he's going to fail or he's going to make a massive mistake at the biggest moment, at least in these wild card games. I just look at him as like a Roberto Luongo type or Mark Sanchez. Like, you watch a guy like that to laugh at him. And now we want him? Huh? So, I get it. There's a lot of upside there. And if you look at some of those numbers, Murray, from 2011 to 2015, but look at what who he was targeting, guys like A.J. Green, and he had really good receivers, and he had Tyler Eifert when he's not hurt at tight end. Like, he had good weapons. So that helps contribute. And he's playing the Browns a couple of times a year. Like, of course he's going to put up ridiculous numbers at times. Anyone could. I don't want to live in a world where Andy Dalton is the quarterback of this team. But I just also don't, more than anything else, hearing that. So that clip was from the end of January with Peter King on with Mike Florio. And just hearing that now again over the last few days, a few times, what it really is apparent is that, them talking about Dalton or just whoever it could have been, the Patriots, Crafts and Bill Belichick knew then, like, Brady's not back. We're already looking at someone like Andy Dalton, or we're moving on. Brady's not coming back. When I hear that now, it's like, oh, they knew then. Like, this is over. Brady's out. They probably knew all of last season. But just hearing that now, it makes it more evident they were moving on, that they maybe had interest in a guy like this. My feeling was, coming away from the draft, Stidham's the guy. But you would still want Andy Dalton. You're one of these people that feel like he should get a chance.
Well, it's not so much about Andy Dalton. I don't think he's quite as bad as you're making him out to be. Let me back it up and just say this. Welcome to the new world order as a New England Patriots fan. Like, we've all been spoiled basically for two decades where you automatically started the season. You didn't have to worry about quarterback. You had one of the best quarterbacks in the league and eventually a guy who widely is renowned as the greatest quarterback of all time. This is like what other teams have to do, Jim. They have to consider options like Andy Dalton. So you might just have to hold your nose here until they figure it out in terms of who the long-term person is. Here's my argument. There is no proof that Jared Stidham is ready to go. And Andy Dalton at least has proven he's an NFL caliber starting quarterback. You mentioned the weapons he had. I also would say, well, what about the organization he was playing for and the lack of coaching he's had in his career? And if you look at Belichick and Brady and what they've done with guys like Matt Castle, if you look at McDaniels and what he was able to do in Denver with Kyle Orton, won the first six games there, ended up going 8-8. They were 8-7 in Kyle Orton's starts. I think they can win with Andy Dalton. I'm not saying he's great, but I think he's worth bringing in as insurance and for reassurance that says, okay, at least we have a replacement level NFL starter on our roster, and let's see what that brings us. Because right now, you don't know if you even have that. And I also think that bringing in Andy Dalton or not bringing in Andy Dalton isn't really about Andy Dalton. Because Andy Dalton's the type of guy where if Stidham beat him out, he'd be fine as a backup. I don't think he would. Andy Dalton wouldn't raise a stink. Yeah, I think he'd be fine.
And to me, I think that's such a major red flag. It just shows that he's meek and willing to take that backup job when he's been this starter and made the money that he's made in his career. And if he just lost his job to Jared Stidham and was like, no, I'm good with it. At least I have a job. Like, ugh.
Well, he handled the Ryan Finley thing pretty well last year. And it's not like Ryan Finley beat him, but they just wanted to see what he could do. And he wasn't thrilled about that, but he also wasn't disruptive, which is basically my point. So I feel like whether you bring in Dalton or not is really more about Stidham than it is about Dalton. Do you think Stidham can beat him out? Do you think Stidham can withstand competition? And do the Patriots even want real competition for Stidham? And the deeper we get into the offseason, the more I begin to think the answer to that is no. And that what they want is a rigged competition that Stidham is preordained to win. He can feel like he actually won something when it was handed to him. That's what I'm starting to think, because there's no reason not to bring Dalton in. And you can talk about salary cap and all this other stuff. Dalton's not going to get paid. Any deal would be incentive laden. They could easily move the money around to sign him. And at least you would have the security of knowing there's somebody on your roster who's an NFL caliber starting quarterback. You don't have that security right now.
Yeah, the money part is where I start to get worried that you might be right, because Jameis Winston this week signed for nothing.
Peanuts.
It was $1.1 million to back up Breeze in New Orleans. You look at last year, Blake Bortles gets $1 million to be the backup to stupid Jared Goff with the L.A. Rams.
And those guys were starters. Those guys were entrenched starters for their teams at one point. Obviously, it's Bortles with Jacksonville, Winston with Tampa Bay, and that's nothing. Like, that is absolutely nothing for those guys, $1 million. That's kind of what I think the money would be here, and that's why my hope is that someone like Jacksonville is dangling 3 to 4 in front of him, and he goes there, and there's also the comfort of working with Jay Gruden again, who he had worked with in Cincinnati. I just,
But you know, we always talk about that, right? And it's like, oh, you know, a team like Jacksonville should jump on Dalton. And obviously the connections are there. But do you recognize the difference between Stidham and, like, Gardner Minshew played. He won games. And part of this is no fault of Stidham's because he was behind Brady. But he's thrown 4 NFL passes that matter. And one of them was a pick six. So it's everybody's like, oh, well, Jacksonville should definitely take him. Jacksonville should take him. You know, they don't have much. Minshew is more proven than Stidham. So if Jacksonville should take Dalton as an option, then why shouldn't you take Dalton as an option? That doesn't mean he's automatically your starter. But as I said before, as insurance or for reassurance that if your young guy that you believe in isn't ready or isn't quite what you thought, then at least there's a guy who's like, you know, a replacement level, an average NFL starter on your team that gives you a chance. And by the way, if it's, we're going to find out this year, if it's really all about what we've been told it's all about, which is the coaching, then if Andy Dalton's the starter, they still win 9 or 10 games. If it's really all about the coaching, as we've been told.
Oh boy. And that would be such a, you know, that would be such a feather in the cap of Belichick in terms of FU to the people and people like me, like, oh, you did it with Dalton. Oh God. The other thing that I think leads me to believe that Jacksonville wouldn't is I feel like they're in tank mode. I liked what Minshew did initially, like he flashed, but then he came back down to earth.
He did.
If you're Jacksonville and you're looking, you know, at 2021 in that draft class, aren't you trying to position yourself for Trevor Lawrence or the quarterback at Ohio State or to Justin Fields or do like a real reset when you have an opportunity and not a very good roster and you're selling off parts? So I don't know. Oh God. I'll tell you, given the way things are going, I've almost kind of I've readied myself.
You're resigned?
Yeah, to hit the breaking news sounder and say Andy Dalton is a member of the New England Patriots. Why not? You know, it's just like, too, like the news this week. This goes to another thing that just came into mind. It just goes to show you what a crazy time we live in. As a former newspaper man, Chris, isn't it funny now that, you know, the news you kind of don't care about always goes at the bottom of the fold, right? Isn't that usually always?
Below the fold. Above the fold is a premium spot.
Below the fold this week was the Pentagon saying, oh, yeah, aliens are real. Like they, oh, yeah, no, those unidentified flying objects, those videos, aliens. And I would expect the aliens come, Chris, they wouldn't thankfully wipe us out or enslave us or anything like fun like that. No, they'd probably come here and nag us. Like, just be like, you're not wearing the masks. No, can we study you a little bit? Like, it would just, I think the Patriots should sign Andy Dalton. Like, oh, hey, welcome, aliens. Yeah, just keep making me more crazy.
Have you ever seen the Kent Brockman Simpsons?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I, for one, welcome our new
our new ant overlords.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they would like me, what's he say? And if they need someone to help round up people, I am more than available.
For their sugar mines or something? If they need someone to round up people for the sugar mines?
Yeah, if the aliens came, I too would be ready to round everyone up, you know? But no, the aliens will now, in 2020, with the way the world is now, the aliens will come and they'll nag us about the masks and yell at us to keep the golf courses closed. Like, that's what I fully expect. And they'd be into Andy Dalton. That's the kind of world we live in now.
Well, you know, I think the aliens would have a great plan for the sports restart bubble.
Oh, right. I think we should discuss how the NBA can come back. Don't you just want to wipe us out, aliens? You know, use us as slaves, take our body parts, farm us? No. Why aren't you wearing the masks when you go out for your walk? Like, oh, Jesus. Like, that's...
Mandalay Bay is the perfect spot to restart the NBA.
Right. Why the rush? Why does it... We don't care that the weather is good. You should stay in your homes. Keep watching Netflix. Oh, great. The aliens are just like everyone else. That's awesome. All right. Many of you lined up to talk Dalton. Good. Yes. Like it's exacerbate my madness. We'll get to those calls next. Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We've just lost the picture, but what we've seen speaks for itself. The Corvair spacecraft has apparently been taken over, conquered, if you will, by a master race of giant space ants. It's difficult to tell from this vantage point whether they will consume the captive Earthman or merely enslave them. One thing is for certain, there is no stopping them. The ants will soon be here. And I, for one, welcome our new insect overlords. Like to remind them that as a trusted TV personality, I can be helpful in rounding up others to toil in their underground sugar caves.
This show used to be so goddamn funny. Some of the best writing ever. That's how I would feel, you know, if the aliens were actually coming here to take us over or wipe us out, is what I would be hoping for at this point. But I'm telling you, with the way that the world is now, Chris, the Pentagon tells us at the bottom of the fold this week, like, 'cause it's all coronavirus, hell world, we're running out of meat, everything's getting worse by the day. You go to the bottom, or like the metro section, oh yeah, Pentagon says, yeah, UFOs, aliens, essentially real. That's the way I took it. And they would come here, and I feel like they'd basically just be like space trolls, really, is what it would come. Instead of taking us over or putting us in their sugar caves. Humanoids, you're entitled to tests. We have to get the NBA. Like, oh, Jesus. Like, the Patriots should sign Dalton. Why aren't you wearing your mask? Like, they just come here to bust balls. Like, that's what the aliens won't come here to take over or enslave us. Yeah, just come here and bust balls, just like everybody else right now, because it's just that's the way the world is.
Oh, Jim, that's funny. I have to say, just quickly, I just realized that might be my all-time favorite episode, because that is also the episode that where Homer Simpson describes how Jared Stidham will be the Patriots' starting quarterback this year. The two sweetest words in the English language, default.
It's
also the one where at the end they say they throw the parade for the rod, and they have the magazine
in Rod We Trust. Tell
you,
the writing in that show used to be so effing good.
And Bart is like, Dad, you're blocking my view of the rod. They're about to show the rod. And they show the rod in like a ticker tape parade.
Professor, would you say people should overrun grocery stores and needlessly stockpile toilet paper? Yes, I would, Ken. That's where we're at now. Oh, all right, okay. Andy Dalton, your thoughts. You want him. You hate him like I do. Jeff in Walpole, you're first up here on Gasper and Murray. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Go ahead.
Well, I just want to express my feelings about a few things. I don't hang up and get your feedback. But first of all, I just want to say I appreciate everything that Boston has given us in sports. But I think in time that things get stale. And from a fan point of view, I just think I look forward to the day that not blaming Belichick, not blaming Brady.
I can't do it, Jeff. Thanks for the call.
Getting there, Jeff.
I'm going to come off as a dick. Like, the thing has to keep moving. And that guy was a human emergency break. John and Stoughton, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say I'd rather suck with Stidham than blow with Dalton. I want nothing to do with the unwanted orphan of Cincinnati. The guy can, you know, if he comes here, he's just going to get beat like the redheaded stepchild that he is. And I too welcome our alien overlords. I think the mask thing is also like, you know, War of the Worlds, the virus with the thing that killed him. We're all wearing the mask to welcome them.
Thanks, John. Suck with Stidham, then blow with Dalton. If he should get on the T-shirt idea now, before I steal it and not do anything with it. How many T-shirt ideas have I had just out of sheer laziness? I'm like, I'll get to it, and I don't, and then someone else uses it.
Wheel of Bums, that's
the one. That's the one, boy. I could have made a nice little amount of money on that one, but just
you wouldn't even be doing
lazy.
The show.
Nah, I'd still be doing the show. I need it for my sanity. I'm working this thing out, Chris. We're an hour in, and I'm starting to feel better.
Oh, that's good.
I am.
That makes me happy. Hey, can I ask you something real quick before you take another call? Just, is part of your anti-Dalton feeling the idea that this caller sort of hit on it, that you want to just see Stidham sink or swim, and if he sinks, that sets the Patriots up for Lawrence or someone?
No, because I still think that they have enough veterans and enough leadership on the team, and I still don't believe all that much outside of the Bills in the AFC East that a bad record for them next year, even if Stidham sucked, would be at worst 6-10, 5-11, and that's not good enough to get in the area where you could actually draft either Lawrence or Fields, or you know, there's another quarterback coming out of where Carson Wentz played in North Dakota.
Oh, Trey Lance.
Yeah. So I just don't think that they'd be bad enough to get someone that's that good. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't know. Like, worst case scenario, I still think they would be 7-9. The reason I would want to see them ride with Stidham is because I look at what they did with Tom Brady when he was an unknown 20 years ago, and not like he's going to be on the level of Brady, but I feel like they've done enough inside out
to try to protect him and give him enough to try to succeed? In other words, like when I always thought when they put the franchise tag on Joe Tooney, that to me was the signal like, oh, they're going to go with Stidham. They're trying to have as much continuity up front as possible on the offensive line to protect him. I do think that the right side will be better. You'll have a healthier Cannon. You'll have a healthier Shaq Mason. And it's going to be kind of the old school death by a thousand paper cuts type of Patriots offense. And it's little short routes. And hopefully everyone's healthy in terms of the wide receivers and the running backs. And they're going to try to win games on defense like 16-13. And at best, maybe that's 8-8, 9-7. But I'd rather see them do it with a young guy and go forward with him. And if he's not the answer, then you kind of have a reset the following year. I just, with Dalton, it's a retread. I think you're trying to squeeze into the playoffs, rack up as many wins as possible, or a little bit hollow because it's just Belichick trying to eventually get past Don Shula. I do have a bit of an anti-Belichick slant. I will own that. I'm Brady over the team here in the last like 5 to 10 years or so. But Dalton, to me, just feels like that's a, we're just trying to be competitive to keep our head above water more than anything else. I'd rather see them ride with a young guy, see if you have something with him, and start building toward the future that way. Dalton, to me, is just a stopgap thing. I also think it's bad for business because so many people, again, have learned to laugh at this guy over the last decade, and you bring him in, you're like, this is the guy post-Brady? I know whoever it's going to
be. He's a passer palate cleanser, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Dalton's not a long-term. He's the palate cleanser until you find the next. He's the bridge quarterback.
So here's where I'm with you with Cam Newton. If you're going to do something like this, then bring in Cam Newton.
Yeah, I'd rather have Cam Newton, but I think they're disinclined to do so.
Why do you think his market has been so depressed league-wide?
Well, I think a big part of it is the injuries, and this is a bad offseason to be a quarterback with an injury history because teams can't bring you in to check you out to make sure that you're healthy enough to play. And I think the other issue with Newton that Jameis Winston did not have and that Dalton doesn't have is I don't think anybody looks at Cam Newton and says, I can have this guy on my team as a backup and he won't be unhappy or disruptive. If you're signing Cam Newton, he's your starter.
So you really think it's just the he can't get checked out thing more than anything else?
I do. That and I think teams don't feel comfortable that he would be comfortable being a backup.
And when coronavirus start, can the Ebola virus be far behind? No, can't. I could listen to old Simpsons clips. That's a great vortex to go down on YouTube late at night. Like old, mid-90s Simpsons clips when the show actually used to be funny. All right. Yeah, see, I'm starting to feel a little bit better here. We have a couple hours to go here. Gaspar Murray, Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal is also alongside as well. He has a great column that he put up in the last couple of days about the Rick Pitino Celtics, looking back at that horrible team in that era 25 years ago. I want to touch on that. Sometime between now and when we wrap up. But if you want to join the show at any point, 617-729-0985. Back after the Sports Hub headlines here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Be honest. Wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.